You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Good morning, everybody.
Wow, everyone's awake today. All right. Everyone's like, morning.
Yeah. So I get to continue our series, Spiritual Formed Relationships. And today we're going to talk about singleness. I was going to do a little dance. But I decided that's probably, you don't want to see that. You don't want to see that. So we won't do that. So I want to start off with a quote from the great philosopher, Jerry Springer. Not Jerry Springer. I'm sorry. I just wrote Jerry Springer. It's not Jerry Springer. Jerry Seinfeld. Which, well, you can say whatever you want. They're both Jerry. But I don't know if either one of them are great philosophers. But anyway, Jerry Seinfeld. He said this, when I was single, I had married friends. I would not visit their homes. I found their lives to be pathetic and depressing. Now that I am married, I have no single friends, and I find their lives to be meaningless and trivial experiences. In both cases, I believe I was correct. Whichever side of marriage that you're on, you are on, often don't understand the other side. Right? We often don't understand the other side. There's a traditional view, right, that when you grow up, maybe some of you have grown up in this, where you were a little girl and you were supposed to dream of your wedding day, right? Dream of the wedding day and the dress and all of those things. Since you were a toddler, you fantasized about the big day, that the climax of life is getting married and having babies. Anyone here that grew up like that? Sort of this traditional thing, pressure on you. And you even have the pressure of your parents who would be like, you know, just waiting for you to get married and have babies. And, you know, you might be running into them in a few months at Thanksgiving and thinking, oh, I got to hear the lecture again. Why aren't you married? Why don't you have kids? And that there's sort of an ideal view of life. If I could only get married and have one or two kids or 12 kids, whichever your preference, everything would be okay. People start to feel if I don't get that by a certain time, maybe there's something wrong with me, right? Or maybe you have a different view. Maybe you have a postmodern culture view, like an urban experience view. Marriage is totally dead. I do not want to get married. I do not want those kids. They are expensive. I don't want that expense. I want to do what I want. I have my own aspirations in life, my own dreams, and I do not need marriage to pull me down. I don't want the attachment. I don't know if anyone heard of this. There's this new sort of thing going around being explored rather than a marriage. There's this thing called a marriage lease. Have you heard of this? Oh, yeah. A marriage lease. It's currently being discussed. It's a 2-year contract. Instead of wedlock, you have a wed lease, right? Where you get to decide, do I want to renew with you or not? I don't know. It's not working out. I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to let you go. Like, I'm going to move on. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to have a wed lease. It's not working out for me. Because I'm concerned about me. I'm concerned about me. And marriage, it might pull me down. And that's something I don't want. Right? And now I recognize that we have different types of singleness in the room here today and online, that we have singles that are in their teens, in their 20s and their 30s and 40s and so on. We have singles that have never been married. We have marrieds that are considering divorce or entering once again into singleness. We have widowed, we have single moms. And we have people asking, what does it mean to be single after so many years of marriage? I also recognize that this is also a very sensitive topic. It's a vulnerable topic. And for many of you, it's an ache. It's an ache of desires that has not been met. It's an empty hole that may never be filled. And for you, as we talk about this today, I just want to encourage you from a text in Deuteronomy where it says, God is striding ahead of you. He is right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Don't be intimidated and don't worry. He's got you in the palm of his hand, okay? So what is the biblical idea of being single? That's what we're going to look at today. What is our spiritual formation in regarding singleness? And what we're going to do is we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit in the message. But we're looking at 1 Corinthians 17, and I really like the message version of it. And so we're going to read from that. So if you can direct your attention to the screens, or if you want to pull out your app, or maybe you actually have a Bible in front of you. 1 Corinthians. Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. I always want to go, anyway, sorry. A simpler life in many ways. But celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of the single life to some, the gift of the married life to others. I do, though, tell the unmarried and widows that singleness might well be the best thing for them, as it has been for me. But if they can't manage their desires and emotions, they should by all means, go ahead and get married. The difficulties of marriage are preferable by far to a sexual tortured life as a single. And don't be wishing you were someplace else or someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. Don't think I'm being harder on you than on the others. I give this same counsel in all the churches. Were you Jewish at the time God called you? Don't try to remove the evidence. Were you non-Jewish at the time of your call? Don't become a Jew. Being Jewish isn't the point. The real important thing is obeying God's call, following his commands. Because of current pressures on us from all sides, I think it would probably be best to stay just as you are. Are you married? Stay married. Are you unmarried? Don't get married. But there's certainly no sin in getting married, whether you're a virgin or not. All I am saying is that when you marry, you take on additional stress in an already stressful time. And I want to spare you, if possible. Some people are really laughing at that. Yeah. I do want to point out, friends, that time is of the essence. There is no time to waste. So don't complicate your lives unnecessarily. Keep it simple. In marriage, grief, joy, whatever, even in ordinary things, your daily routines of shopping and so on, deal as sparingly as possible with the things the world thrusts on you. This world, as you see it, is fading away. I want you to live as free of complications as possible. When you're unmarried, you're free to concentrate on simple pleasing the master. Marriage involves you in all the nuts and bolts of domestic life and in wanting to please your spouse, leading to so many more demands on your attention. The time and energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other, the unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. I'm trying to be helpful and make it easy as possible for you, not make things harder. All I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the master without a lot of distractions. It's pretty good, right? Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, it is, but some of you are like, I don't know. Let me put this out there straight away. Let's settle one thing really quick from this text. Your identity is in Christ, not your relationship status. Amen? Your identity in Christ is not in your relationship status. Your identity is not, did you marry the prom queen, or that you married a husband that has lots of money, or that your kids are on the honor roll. That is not your identity. So let's take care of that right away today, that your identity is in Jesus Christ. And when you decide to follow Jesus, be an apprentice of Jesus, you're identifying as forgiven, as chosen, as that you are enough. Because that's how Jesus sees you. He sees you as forgiven, chosen, and that you're enough. You are enough. in Jesus, you're enough. And if you haven't sort of shifted things in your life and said, you know what, I actually want to identify with Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to, right up front today, offer you the opportunity to do that, to say, you know what, I'm going to recalibrate my life, and I want to go ahead and follow Jesus. I want my identity to be in Jesus. I want to be forgiven, chosen. I want to be enough. And so today, when we do prayer ministry, if you've never done that before and you want to do that, I'm going to ask you, we're going to have some people to pray for people in the back. I'm just going to encourage you to go up, take courage, go up and say, hey, I want to do what he said. I want to actually identify with Jesus Christ. Okay? So we want to do that right up front. But not only do you, as Christians, as apprentices of Jesus, you have a new identity in Christ, you also get a new family. You get a new family. Now, this is fascinating. Christianity has created a very unique experience when you think about singleness. In most cultures and faiths, we've got to fix this. Our iPads and phones are all connected. So if anyone texts at all, Rebecca, I get the text up here, and then it threw my whole thing off. I lost my place. All right, hold on. Give me a quick second. Sorry about that. All right. We did that part. New family. Okay, here we go. So most cultures and faiths, you're defined by who you're married to, right? You're defined by how many kids you have, what your bloodline is in your family. It is your identity in most cultures and faiths. But when people become Christians, you enter a new relationship with a new family. A new family. Do you recognize that when you become a Christian, you become part of this church? You are still sitting, you're sitting right now with your mothers and fathers and your sisters and your brothers. When you become a Christian, you join a family. When you're not here, we miss you. You are family. So do me a favor. Look around the room. If you see someone that you normally see, make sure you tell them this week, I missed you. It's important to be here. We have family here. We have a new identity. We have a new identity in Christ, and we're family. And God has created this way because God is good, and he sees that. He sees that we need each other. We can say being single is a good gift because we serve a good God. Now, I know what some of you may be saying. You might sing it too. Here we go again. Like, here's a pastor telling me that singleness is a blessing. He's married. He's got kids. What a blessing it is to be single. And some of you may be saying, I would like to give him some gifts, you know, some gifts of poverty maybe, or martyrdom. But Paul is saying singleness is not a sad gift. It's not a sad gift. When you marry, you take on additional stress in an already stressful world, he says. Now, I'm not saying that single people live stress-free lives. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you only worry about your insomnia cookie order and that's it. I'm saying, I understand you have more stress than that. Once again, from the great philosopher Jerry Seinfeld, he says, married people want to make each other happy. The husband wants to make you happy. He's working on it. He's planning it. He's thinking about it. He just can't do it. He just can't do it. Sometimes we do it. We don't know how we did it. We would ask what we did, but then it looks like we don't know what we're doing. Can't do nothing. Woman says, I can't believe you're doing this. Man says, doing what? Woman starts crying. Man says, I didn't do anything. Woman says, exactly. right? Jerry says, it's a chess game. The board is floating water, and all the chess pieces are made of smoke, right? That's the marriage issue, right? That's the stress that we're talking about when you're married. And I recognize you have stress in your life, singles. I get it. And I recognize that being a single parent is crazy, crazy hard. What I'm saying here is that there are less layers of your day. There is more space for you to decide what you are going to do with your day to day. And the gift of this is you get to live your life in the passionate pursuit of God's kingdom. You get to focus on becoming the man or the woman that God has called you to be. Can I say that that's the most important thing that you can do? Walking in the full potential of your calling? Singleness is not easy. Singleness is not easy. And in 1 Corinthians 7:17, it said, don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. We all need that. Where you are right now is God's place for you. This really is for everyone. I have a friend, Larry, he used to be a pastor, and he stopped being a pastor, and he's a carpenter now, and he's amazing. And we were chatting recently. I'm like, you ever miss it? He goes, no. I just live right where I'm at. And I go, tell me about that. He goes, 20 by 20. I'm like, what? Are you giving me, like, are you building something? What do you mean 20 by 20? He says, I live right where I'm at, 20 feet by 20 feet. And I pay attention to what God's doing there. And that's where I'm called to be. And I focus on that, 20 by 20. We spend so much time thinking the what ifs. You know, if I could only be in a really great relationship, if I could only have kids, if I could only have a spouse that would go to counseling with me, if, when you do this, you're robbing yourself of actually the right now, the 20 by 20. Right now. What is God calling me to do now? Because we live in the if fantasy. In our singleness, we can be laser focused on becoming the man or the woman God has called us to be. So have you heard of this one, that one half plus one half equals a whole? You heard that before? When you're going to find your better half? Or who? Where's your better half? Anyone like that? You married people, do you like when someone says, where's your better half? He doesn't like that. Better half, right? I don't like it either. Because you marry a full person. You don't marry a half a person. You don't marry a half a person. You marry a full person. You are a whole person. Single people, you are a whole person. And you bring a whole person into relationships. And you have a chance to focus on your whole person. You don't have a relationship with a half person. There's an author, his name is Irvin Yalom, and he said this. He said, people who feel empty never heal by merging with another incomplete person. On the contrary, two broken winged birds coupled into one making for a clumsy flight. No amount of patience will help it fly. And ultimately, each must be pried from the other and wounds separately splinted. The truth is, everyone in this room, married, single, we all have issues. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. And it's okay, especially when we recognize we all have issues. Most of us live our life in repeated cycles of these issues, right? You go, you bang your head on the wall, and you think, oh, I gotta stop doing that. That really hurt. And then you go bang your head on the wall. And you go, oh, I gotta stop doing that. That really hurt. And then you keep repeating the cycle. You keep repeating the cycle. My encouragement to those in the room that are single is spend this time, effort, and energy becoming a whole, healthy person. There are good counselors, spiritual directors. We talk about emotionally focused that is being offered all the time. Coming up an in-person one in December. Come to church. Bring your issues here. Be vulnerable here. Spend some time getting untangled here. And whether I become a whole person and remain single, or I become a whole person and I get married, I'm going to count this time as investment that is totally worth it. It is totally worth it for you to invest in becoming a whole person right now. Singleness is a gift. It's a good gift. But we also recognize that there is a cost of singleness. There is a cost. And when Paul says, I wish everyone could be like me, he is saying, I wish everyone could be celibate like me. We are called to celibacy as Christians, not having sex until we're married. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, okay, we're in church, so yes, I'll agree to that. We pretend, and then we go out. I don't know, I'm wrestling with that a little bit once we leave the room. But there is something about a Christian identity and being whole and practicing celibacy. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. I'm taking this class, and it's about addiction, but it kind of fits in this. And they did a study with this lab rat. And they had a lab rat, and they had a bottle of water, and then they had a bottle of water mixed with heroin. And a lab rat was by itself and just kept going to the heroin every time, every single time, just hitting the heroin every time, every time, every time, and eventually died. And then they did another cage, but this one had all the rat bells and whistles. It had multiple cages, it had tunnels, it had little places they could play, lots of food, cheese, whatever, maybe a spin wheel, all whatever a rat paradise would look like, that's what it looked like. And it had other rats there as well. And it also had a water bottle and then a water bottle that was mixed with heroin in it as well. And the rats actually never really hit the heroin. They didn't become addicted to it. They didn't touch it. They kind of left it alone. And the reason why I'm telling this is that sometimes I feel like we surround ourselves with unhealthy and incomplete options. That's why I'm telling you this. We surround ourselves with things that are incomplete, that don't make us whole, that we think are going to make us whole, that actually do us harm, and we saturate ourselves and drown ourselves in it, instead of creating this option where, you know what, I'm going to surround myself around things that are going to make me whole and holy. You're diving into areas that don't support a Christian view of celibacy and wholeness. Our culture doesn't. Consider this. I'm asking you to consider this. Consider, if you're single, a high and holy view of your sexuality. Some of you probably heard growing up, if you grew up in church, the teaching of like, oh, sex is great, it's wonderful, but don't do it or you're going to hell, you know? Like, mixed views, like good, bad, I don't understand what to do. Like, I it's good, but I don't stay away from it, you know? The truth is, it's wonderful, and God created it for the bonds of marriage. Singles, I know this is hard. I know this is hard. But Paul says, and yet I will show you and still more excellent way. What if a high and holy view of sex is still a better way? A better way. What if God has for you this good gift because he is a good father? I recognize, too, that it isn't just practicing self-control. The cost is also the realization that I may never have children and marriage may never be in the cards for me. And that ache is real. And there is no talk that I can give or a five-step model that is going to fix that ache. But I promise you that God sits with you in this ache. He is a God that doesn't take. He is a God that exchanges. He exchanges sexual intimacy with deep, deep spiritual friendships. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, to the ancients, friendship seemed the happiest and most fully human of all loves, the crown of life and the school of virtue, The modern world, in comparison, ignores it. I don't even think we've scratched the surface in our culture what's deep spiritual friendship is. People who know your ache, know your desire, your truth, they pray for you, they know your loves, your hopes, and fears. And when we take spiritual friendship seriously, I think we start to see when we come together as a church, we are family when we take it seriously. We're family. Some of you don't like the idea of family. I get it. You probably have a biological family, and you're like, that didn't go so well. Why do I want to get in this one? You know, well, you don't have a choice. This is your family. This is your spiritual family. You have a new family, and this is it. This is it. If you are brother and sister in Christ, then we right now in this room, those people that call this place their church home, we are family. Spiritual friendship is a gift of God. And this is why we talk about it's important to get in life groups and join a circle, or we do like a 414 event, or we say, hey, why don't you come be part of a ministry? Because here's the truth. We want you to connect to each other. We want you to connect to each other, have relationship with one another, because you're family. You're family, and we love you deeply. Spiritual, deep friendships is what we're looking for. God sets the lonely in families. So here's the deal. We are the most lonely, isolated, separated time in our history of the world, even though it feels like we're so connected. I know everyone's heard that stat over and over and over again, right? But God, here's the cool thing. God has actually created the church to answer that problem. We are the loneliest we've ever been in the history of time. God has created the church to be a family, to connect, to engage. He's created the church to answer the world's problem. We are a family. The church is the answer. The church is the cure. So church, we need to engage with one another. We miss you when you're not here. That is your homework assignment, by the way. If you looked around the room and you said, you know what, so-and-so is not here, your homework assignment is to call them, text them, or see them this week and say, hey, I missed you. Like, I miss you on Sunday. You're my friend, and I miss seeing you. I miss, that's your homework assignment. I just made that up. But do it, okay? We want to be deeply connected to each other, don't we? We're family. That requires all of us to take steps towards people, to be here, to do lunch together after church, to get into a life group or circle. You are single, but you are stepping in to a family. You might be single, but you're stepping into a family. We're a small church. Now, we don't have, there's some churches that are large, and they have programs for singles and classes for singles and mixers for singles. Sorry, singles. We don't have that. We don't have that. We're down and dirty, messy folks that are all a little messed up. But we are your family. We are your family. And we are here for you to be vulnerable with, to cry with, to share joy and laughter with, and experience life and engage in authentic relationship and community with you. We're here. We're here. And we're here for you. We are family. We're here for each other. Let's do this together, church. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.